talking about Luce, right? The new Jubilee Year official mascot, or Luce, if you want to say it the American way. Luce, let's talk about it today, family. Let's go. I need you to help me out with this. That is the topic today for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. I'm Debbie Giorgiani. This is your show. You got to call in. If you don't know about it already, you can run over real quickly or race over to Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, because Charles Beery, our producer, has published the article from Catholic news agency Meet Luce, the official Jubilee Year Vatican mascot, in order to reach the Gen Zers, engage with the pop culture. It's an anime character. If you don't know it, there's an anime craze all over the place, and so the Vatican has jumped into the action and wanted to bring in the younger folks with this mascot, Luce. I'm going to use the Italian because I like saying Luce. You got to tell me what you think about it, okay? Really change my mind, because I'm not sold on it. I'm just going to let you know, for various reasons. If you've ever seen the character, it has a rosary around its neck, apparently. Now, some of this is not confirmed. I don't know exactly if it's accurate until I don't have the doll in front of me or the character in front of me. I have seen pictures of Luce and her friends. But if you haven't seen this yet, please quickly go online and just type in the Vatican mascot, official mascot for the Jubilee year, and you will meet Luce. And Luce is a pilgrim on a journey, and it's interesting. I like some of that symbolism around it, but I'm not sold on this anime craze thing. So I really need your help. Change my mind. You know, maybe some of the younger folks that listen to Take Two, you can tell me why this is good, and this will engage those that are the Gen Zers and around that generation. And if you think that's the case, then I would happily switch my position on it. I've been in religious education. I retired after 25 years in religious education, 1989. And I can tell you that things like this, I just feel like they don't transition well into learning about the faith. I remember the SpongeBob SquarePants days, and I remember seeing SpongeBob on the altar, and it's not pretty, and it really is disturbing, because you're trying to water down the faith, trying to bring it down in order to relate. And they've done the polls, they've done the surveys, and kids want the truth. Give them the truth. Give everybody the truth. Let them decide on their own. That's what I say. But give them the truth. You don't have to create some kind of characters to lure them in or something like that. But I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to engage with the pop culture and really be part of the generation. And the anime movement is huge. As a matter of fact, the Vatican has gone to the cartoon big exhibit there. I think it's called Luca. And they unveiled Luce there. And people loved it. And maybe you love it. And maybe your kids love it. Maybe you've bought one of the Luce dolls already for Christmas, because I understand they're selling out like crazy. I wonder where they're made. That's interesting, too. But I'd love to hear from you. So if you don't know anything about this, I'll happily talk to you about it, and you can look it up. Just look it up real quickly on your phone. It's real easy. Just look up Vatican Jubilee Year Mascot Luce, L-U-C-E. Or loose, if you want to say it that way. And you'll see the character right there. Here's the number, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. I understand that a lot of our non-Catholic brothers and sisters think it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant marketing to bring the young folks into the church. So I understand that the Protestants are loving this and think it's wonderful for us. I don't particularly care for it. I mean, I think the doll is cute. I'll be honest with you. It's cute. I just don't know how that's going to make the transition into learning about the faith or wanting to go to Mass and be a part of the faith. I just don't understand it. But I guess you have to have these kinds of attractive things to bring people in. I don't know. It's maybe I'm getting old. I don't know. But I need somebody to change my mind on this, because I'm not sold on it. Although I love saying the name Luce. I think it's a beautiful name. It means light. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Please tell me what you think and feel about the new official Vatican mascot for the Jubilee year. Jubilee year is next year. And it's coming up. It's right around the corner. The mascot, the anime character, Luce. That's what I want to know. Tell me your thoughts on it. And I understand that Blessed Carlo Acutis will be canonized in the Jubilee year. Luce has friends. It has a friend, one of the friends, one of the other characters has angel wings. So I guess it's implying that, you know, the belief in angels. And then there's also another character that looks similar, I think, to Blessed Carlo Acutis. I don't know. I mean, it's a stretch, I'll be honest with you. I don't really understand it when we have such an amazing worldwide exhibit of Eucharistic miracles that Carlo Acutis put together. I just feel that, well, let me tell you what I feel. This is just my personal opinion now. When I did my graduate degree in theology, my master's thesis was on adolescent spirituality. Okay, so adolescent spirituality, that's the junior high age. And I did case studies. I got an A, by the way, and I did really well on my presentation. But I will tell you that I learned a lot about this age group. It's a group that gets overlooked. People want to pass by this, you know, like let this age go really fast, and because they just, with all the hormones raging and all sorts of stuff, parents and teachers have a difficult time sometimes with that age. But I found that a lot of vocations come up during that age. So these kids, these junior high kids, are very much, in my opinion, able to absorb the faith in a deep way and have some really good, solid discussions about the faith. I think they're not being tapped enough. And I think when we do stuff like this, this is just my personal opinion, I think we cheapen the faith, and we diminish their ability to think bigger at their age. That's just I have a lot of hope in the junior high age group. I think they're wonderful. I spent almost 15 years working with that group. So I'm just saying, that's my thoughts on it. Luce's cute. I understand why the Vatican felt the need for it. I would love to hear your comments, your concerns, your questions about this anime character that the Vatican is now getting involved with. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. When I come back, I'm going right to the phones. Please call in. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. I want to hear from you. The new Vatican mascot, Luce, today, and I'm going to get to Ed from this, who's listening on Massachusetts on the Station of the Cross, in just a second. Ed, don't go anywhere. I just want to share this Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and saints. Stand Firm, Be Strong. It's amazing. It's by Father Wade Menezes. It includes practical daily reflections for men of every vocation that comprise both scripture and saint quotes, along with a relevant meditation meant to jumpstart and strengthen a man's spiritual life over the course of 6 months. So it's a 6 month meditation. I love this. The timely wisdom of this book will help you cultivate virtue and root out vice, preparing you to, here's just a sample of it, imitate Christ in guarding your senses and responding to temptation, develop a greater trust in God and His mercy. It's a fabulous, fabulous book. Please get it by Father Wade Menezes. And let me just share with you the best way to obtain the book, and that's at EWTNRC.com. Buy Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com. I just want to let you know, I bought that for my husband. He's probably listening right now. I bought that for my husband for Christmas. And I'm so excited. I think he's going to love it. By the way, today is my 15th wedding anniversary today. So if Marty, if you're listening, happy anniversary. I'm so glad we are on this journey together. Okay, let's go to Ed. Ed from Massachusetts is waiting so patiently on the listening on the Station of the Cross. Hey, Ed, welcome to the program.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller. I just want to tell you, I feel like I'm next-door neighbors with you folks.
Oh, and thank you.
I love the Take Two family. I'm working. I can't last long. Let me just say, I'm on the same page as you, Debbie. I've taught religious education, the same thing, 25 years. I have 6 children, 10 grandchildren. They're going in the wrong direction. There's a crisis in catechesis. And that special age group you're talking about, this is what they need to do. They need to separate the boys and the girls. And men have to teach the boys how to be Catholic men. And good Catholic women have to teach the young girls how to be good Catholic women. It's not going to work otherwise, and they have to get back to the basics. It's as simple as that, and this is nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You and I could talk forever.
Debbie, I gotta run. Just go ahead and run with it.
Okay. Thank you, Ed. Thank you so much. I know you're super busy, so thank you for being a first-time caller. Have a blessed day. Thank you. I agree with you, Ed.
Thank you. You too. God bless.
Thank you. We could talk all day long about this. Ed's right. I agree. So Ed and I are on the same page with this. This is going in the wrong direction. I love what he said about separating the boys and girls, where men can teach young boys how to be men in the Catholic faith, where women and grandmothers can teach the girls how to really know the faith and to live the faith. Absolutely. I love that. I think it's beautiful. Let's hear what Pat has to say from Ohio, listening on Cleveland, Ohio, listening on The Rock. Hi, Pat. Welcome.
Hi. So you were talking about that doll or whatever it is for the Jubilee year.
Yes.
And my initial feeling is that it's stupid, but there are many times I've been at some Catholic event where something was proposed, spoken, and I thought, oh, that's the dumbest thing in the world. But I ended up realizing that my take on it isn't the same as everybody's. And some people who are deeply moved to deepen their Catholic faith through something that I thought was stupid.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So you think that there is a possibility that it could work. It could engage the generation and bring them in and possibly turn out to be something that is a good thing, where they now made that first step. They're interested, and now we can catechize them properly. Is that what you're sharing?
Like, some people really love icons,
right?
And some don't. They just don't get it. Some really love the traditional Latin Mass,
mm-hmm.
and some don't get it. Some love the different Eastern liturgies, and some don't. And God can work through anything,
right?
I mean, I've seen some people that I thought they were babbling, saying things that just didn't make sense, and they got people to really enter. I know one woman was giving a talk at a renewal, and I thought, gee, this is just kind of very thin chicken soup with added water to it. And because of that talk, there's another woman that came back to the faith and had been practicing for the last 40 years.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. You know, that does make sense, because you're reaching people where they're at, and there's something for everyone. I understand that. But let me ask you this, Pat. I'm being really, really honest about this, and just let's really share this deeply. Do you think they're going to be able to transition from a Luce doll that has a rosary around its neck, where you can take the rosary off and wear it as a bracelet? Apparently, that's what they're saying. And it looks like a pilgrim, and it has blue hair, and it has its friends. One of them has a sort of angel wings, so there's a nod and a wink to the angels. Do you think that's going to get them to go deeper? Because our faith is so rich and so deep.
I pray that it will. If they're putting it out there, I pray that God can use it to do some good. God can work miracles in any situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I pray for the people that see these things, that somehow, some miraculous way, that it can be a positive thing.
Well, that is true. God uses all things for good. That is very true. And I agree with that. The thing I think that I'm remembering is I'm having these visions of the days when SpongeBob SquarePants was huge, and priests thought it was fun to connect with the youth, and they would bring SpongeBob and sit them in the deacon's chair. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's stupid. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But I remember I was teaching a class on scripture. We get to the Shema prayer. So I had the class, they were juniors in high school, figure out a way to sing the Shema prayer.
Mm.
And some did it in very different ways. And one actually used the tune from SpongeBob.
Mm.
sing it.
Okay.
And that's the one that the kids all remembered.
That is true. I mean, the Alleluia we use, you know, for the gospel reading, it's taken off of the Shrek movie. So I see what you're saying. I mean, people do, you know, music is very powerful. It stays with people. Yeah. See, I just wonder though, Pat, real quickly, like, should the church come down to the culture, or should we raise the culture to the church?
Both. I think St. Patrick was a slave in Ireland for 7 years, didn't get a chance to proclaim the gospel during that time. He learned the Irish language and culture during those 7 years. He escaped, came back to his faith, became a monk, and returned to Ireland and was able to use the language and culture of the Irish people to bring them around. And some of the things he used there, you might not be able to use in Indonesia or in Germany, mm-hmm. but if somebody really understands the culture, sometimes they can use those things. I don't know if the people who did this thing understand the culture they're trying to address. My guess is that they don't. But I also know that God can use anything to bring about his plan.
It's a good point. Yeah. No, I'm with you. No, I agree with you. You're right. I mean, and you know, at least the Vatican is trying. And I think that's important. We got to give them the benefit of the doubt. So, yeah, you're starting to change my mind on this, Pat. Thank you
so
much.
When I first saw the thing, I just thought this is really stupid. but God is way smarter than I am. So.
You're so funny. Okay, well, thank you so much for weighing in on this. I appreciate it. Have a beautiful rest of your day in gorgeous Cleveland, Ohio. I love that. I love the people at The Rock. Tell them I said hello, okay?
I sure will. Thanks.
Thank you. God bless you. Okay, so that was a great call. You know, I just wanted to say, if you're under the age of 30 and you're into the anime craze, the movement, and a lot of people are, I know there's a lot of high schoolers and college folks that are anime, that Japanese animation is really hot right now, and everybody's into it because for some reason it's just, you know, exciting to be part of it and see the changes and everything. If you're in that age range, could you call in? Because I'd really love to hear from you. I think what you have to say is very important. 833-288-EWTN. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. We're talking about Luce, or Luce, the Vatican mascot that for the Jubilee year that was just released. How do you feel about it? Did you see all their friends? She's got friends, by the way, lots of them. 833-288-3986. Okay, let's hear what Danielle has to say from Missouri on EWTN.com. Hi, Danielle. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Go right ahead.
Hello. I was just commenting on the mascot you were talking about for the Jubilee. And the first thing that came to my mind, I mean, I had never seen it. I hadn't really heard about it yet until I was listening to you today. And when you said, you could call it Luce, and I was thinking, is that Lucifer? You know, that's the first thing that came to my mind. And I hadn't looked at it yet. And then I went and looked at it because you said, quickly look at it and then you can decide for yourself. So I looked at it and then I noticed, you know, it's wearing the rosary, and that's disrespectful. I always grew up knowing that it wasn't a necklace to wear. It was sacred and you don't put it around your neck. So...
Right.
That was something that I thought was disrespectful with the mascot just right off the bat. And I think, you know, Jesus is the mascot. You know, he's a symbol of our Christian faith. And I don't think that we need a mascot like that to bring people in.
Well, and I want to share something with you. So you're very observant because people are commenting. You got a lot of podcasters out there saying, you know, why the blue hair? Is the blue hair supposed to be somehow like the, because blue is for the Blessed Mother, right? And so that's kind of interesting. And then you picked up on Luce, Luce, which means light. And you're right about Lucifer. They weren't making the connection at all that it was Lucifer, because this is a pilgrim on the journey way back, heading back home to God. So this is all of us. It's supposed to represent. is supposed to represent all of us and being that light in the world, that Christ-like light in the world. And so it's a positive thing. And then it's, okay, you know, the creation has some dirt on her, which means, you know, she's a pilgrim going through a lot. She's had her troubles. She's, you know, then she has her friends to travel with her. So there's the body of Christ. And so there's all these podcasters are weighing in on it, saying, this is what this means, this is what that means. And then there's even some podcasters that are stretching it, saying that the rod she's carrying on a pilgrim on a journey doesn't look like a normal, certain, you know, thing, that a walking stick. Anyway, people are stretching it. But here's the thing. Here's how I feel that they were able to solve that rosary situation. You're spot on about that. So the rosary is around her neck, but apparently you can take the rosary off if you buy the doll. The rosary comes off and now can become a bracelet.
Is the Catholic Church saying that it's not disrespectful to wear the rosary? I mean, if they're showing that on the, having the doll wear it and, you know, showing it on the picture, then it, mm-hmm. the rules have changed then, I guess?
Well, see, people have always taken sides on this, because you will have some religious orders that wear the rosary. You'll have some people of great deep faith that wear it reverently. Then you'll have people that wear it as jewelry. Wearing it as jewelry or as an accessory is, in my understanding and what I've always taught in religious education, is improper. It's an improper use of the rosary and that sacramental. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's a European thing. I really don't know. I think it was a mistake to do that. I also know that one of the other anime characters, he has a Bible sticking out of his pocket, like half hanging out of his pocket or something like that. I don't know. The whole thing is, I go back to this. I totally understand. Did you hear Pat's comments? Because I thought his comments were fabulous. But I totally understand that God can use everything for the good. I just feel like sometimes we cheapen the faith, and it should be so reverent, and we should be respectful, and it should be dignified, and it should be a proper, and it should be really important. And when you have a Bible hanging out of somebody's pocket and a crucifix around the neck, I don't know, it just cheapens it for me. What do you say, Danielle?
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like we should change anything about the solid foundation of the church. I think that it's that way, and it needs to be respected that way. And we shouldn't change it to just oblige by the way people are right now, because that does cheapen the word, and it's just going to get worse and worse. The more they cheapen it, the less meaning it'll have throughout the years.
Yeah, and here's my concern. You are going to have, you know, pastors, and you're going to have deacons that are going to bring the luce as a prop during a homily. So you will see that. I mean, there are pastors that do that. I don't know if I like all that. I mean, yeah, I guess, I mean, if you're buying the luce doll for Christmas and it's making people think about the rosary, then Pat's right. It is a good thing. I don't know. I don't know. I can't quite make up my mind on it. I just initially and that's why I wanted to ask the Take Two family what you all thought, because I just can't quite wrap my head around it. It just doesn't feel right to me. What do you say?
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we did good on this conversation. I thank you so much for weighing in. Thanks for going to the internet real quick. I'm glad you did that. We did post it on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. Charles Beery is right on top of it. So if you'd want to weigh in on this, we're talking about the Jubilee Year official mascot, Luce. And what do you have to say about it? 833-288-3986. We're having a great discussion, so jump in quickly. We'll be right back. We're talking about the Jubilee mascot, Luce, today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I really appreciate you guys weighing in on this. Lots of calls are coming in. That's great. I do have room for more. And on social media, you guys are got the chats going. Thank you so much. Please put your comments in there, and we will also share those. And also on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, like us there, because we're always posting articles and continuing conversation on this topic. 833 888-EWTN is the way to reach us right now if you want to be on air. 833-288-3986. I'm going to get to Kathleen in just a moment. Just hold on, Kathleen. Don't go anywhere. Let me just share this. I've got a congratulations going out to our great EWTN radio partner. Eternal Life Radio, serving Fitchburg and Shirley, Massachusetts, is celebrating 12 years with EWTN. Congratulations to Marianne, Harold, and everyone at WQPH from your friends here at EWTN. This is a great conversation that we're having, and I just wanted to, okay, did we just drop? I think we just lost Kathleen. Uh-oh. Kathleen, call back. You were going next. I don't know what happened. So we're going to move, we're going to move to Nancy. Nancy from Las Vegas, Nevada on the EWTN app. Take it away, Nancy.
Yes, hello?
Hello. You go right ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. This is my take on it, and I saw the little icon, whatever you want to call them, Luce, and I didn't like it at all, and I'll tell you why. I lived in the Middle East, and I worked for a government agency, American government agency, and we did an advertising campaign that was very nice. It was for the government of this country, this Middle Eastern country. It was beautiful. It was slick. It was out of New York City. It was very well done. However, when we presented it to the government representatives, they found it rather unpleasant, offensive, and that it would not in any way relate to that culture. And that's the problem, I think, with this little guy or girl. Is that it may relate to certain cultures, but not to all. It definitely is not westernized. And that kind of, I think it's very limited in its scope because of this design. So I don't think it's going to be successful in the West.
Okay. Hi, I'm back. Thank you to the Take Two family. Thank you so much for hanging in there. I don't know what exactly happened, but I guess, maybe the enemy doesn't like us talking about Luce, the Vatican mascot. So let's go to our next caller, and Charles might help me out here because I don't have the calls up in front of me. It's Helene, I believe, is up next. Hello. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
This is Helene.
Hi, Helene. Thank you so much. I'm actually connected, but I really feel the enemy doesn't like us talking about this topic.
Exactly, because I'm 82 years old, and I was listening to this, and it was just getting to me because God just stirred in my soul that this is just another way for our enemy, the devil, to get into the church. And I just feel it's just not right at all. I've lived all my life in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I feel that it's a big mistake for this to be happening. We're not supposed to be there to entertain and to have, something just for the kids or for the teenagers to attract them to the church. It has to be for the right reason.
I agree with
family. I have a very big family. I have 8 children, 41 grandchildren, 33 great-grandchildren, and 5 more on the way. Don't want to see the church just breaking down to the world.
Well, you make a really good point, and I'm just going to say that it doesn't surprise me at all. I do the spirit world with Adam Bly, and every time we tackle a topic that kind of ruffles people's feathers and does stuff and just kind of agitates people, it's an interesting when people start to go deeper and think a little bit. Wiser about certain things, all of a sudden the demons just start showing up, and they will do everything with technology they can possibly do to stop the conversation, which is exactly what I believe happened right now, because we were having a wonderful discussion, and next thing I know, everything went out on my end, and the jetpack, everything went out. I mean, all backups and everything, and I'm thinking, this is too weird. This isn't an accident.
It's not an accident, Debbie. It is not an accident. Jack Williams here. I am coming to your rescue, and I'm going to bring the callers on for you. How about that?
Thank you, Jack. Thank you. I do believe it, Jack. Seriously, this is dangerous. That, you know, we're going into areas, just like Helene was saying, we're going into areas where we are absolutely, and I say it, I said it now twice, cheapening the faith. We're bringing it down, and I know that God can use everything for good. I know that, but when we do that, we are limiting people's understanding of God instead of elevating people's understanding. So, Helene, I'm right with you, and you speak from wisdom. And I hope the whole world is listening, because we really have to look at this closely and see if it's really worth it. Right, Helene?
Agree with you. We have to now. We have to say more rosaries and more prayers. I have a rosary sticker on my car that says, "If we want to save the world, we should be saying the rosary."
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm right with you. God bless you. What a beautiful. You must have some great family reunions.
Very, very much fun. A lot of
very
fun.
Very nice. Well, God bless you. Thank you for sticking it out with us. Okay.
Next up is Kathleen. She's in northern Minnesota listening on Real Presence Radio. Thanks for calling back, Kathleen. You're on with Debbie.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay, Debbie?
Yes, Kathleen, I can. Thank you so much for staying with us. You go right ahead.
Okay. I looked up that little doll that you were talking about and stuff, and I've got 15 grandkids and one on the way. And every time you go to the grocery store, they want one of those stupid little puppy animals in the bins there that are $6 a piece or whatever. And of course you don't buy them all the time, but they're gravitating right towards them, right? And a lot of all of them belong to a Christian faith, but not all are practicing Catholics. And yet they know the church, but they don't know the rosary. And I'm like, that would be a really fun way to introduce them to it, because it comforts. I mean, they bring it, we talk about it, it would open discussion. So, I mean, I know you just went off the line. I believe in the power of the demons and all that stuff, and we do want to go deeper. But it isn't. It might be a fun way to introduce. Grandma, what is that? I mean, my little son used to wear that around his neck and wear it to school every day, the rosary. And it started great conversations. And I want to encourage that everything isn't, the intention isn't evil. And little kids just want that transition into comfort. And barring anybody sitting there worshiping, I mean, we've got our statues because they signify something, they mean something, and they can't carry around a little glass statue yet. So, and they might all carry dollies to bed at night or stuffed animals. It's like, what if they had one of those things to hang on to? I sure wouldn't mind, rather than puffy pillows and beanie babies you got to throw in the microwave to warm them up, you know? So that's my view on it. So it's not like real deep, but there you go.
Well, no, it is deep, and I thank you for sharing it, because you do make a great point. I mean, if kids are going to be attracted to it, then it's a conversation starter. So I agree with you on that. I think that's where Pat was saying earlier, the good can come out of this. I'm right with you on that. My concern is that there have been liturgical abuses with the Mass, and I just feel like this is another avenue that could happen. And that concerns me, where we could start bringing these anime creations into the Mass, and then that would be a problem. So I see where you're going with it. I totally get it, and I agree with you with the young kids. I will tell you, anime is very popular amongst high schoolers and college age. So they're actually trying to reach the older kids as well. Can I add?
Sure. Yeah, I do have a final comment about that. And I got to say, when I see that with older kids, I see that as something, them wanting me to maintain their innocence of that comfort and the youthfulness. I just love that when I hear that. It's like nobody's too big for dollies. We love that coziness. And the last thing I want to say is we've got a church nursery down in the little Catholic church that I attend. Every single item in that nursery is intentionally a Christian object. They've got a staged little Mass area. They've got a little tent for reading Christian books in there, the Catholic books and the Bibles. And boy, that little doll would fit really well right in the nursery, too.
Interesting.
You know, anyway, yeah. That's all.
No. Those are great, great comments. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I understand what the Vatican's trying to do. I totally get it. I'm just kind of taking a pulse on to see where everybody thinks and if it could be used and to get people deeper in the faith. But you shared beautifully. Thank you so much for staying with us. By the way, I need to tell everybody, somebody must have said the St. Michael prayer because I'm back online. So just to let you know, the demons do mess with technology and water. So that's what they mess with. And if you're tackling a topic that they don't like, they don't want you to discuss because it could elevate people, they definitely mess with technology. Jack, where are we at?
Renee is up next. Oops. Well, Charles killed me.
Oh, no.
There we go.
There you go.
Do you not have your stack up anymore?
It just came up.
Okay, so Renee. Renee is up next in the great state of Ohio, listening on the EWTN app. Renee, you're on with Debbie.
Thank you. Hi, Renee.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all that you do. You're such a joy and encouragement and blessing to listen to. I really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. I right back at you. I love you back. Go right ahead.
So you had asked if some of the younger generation, like the teens and those in their teens and 20s, could call in and explain to you the attraction of the anime. I am not of that age, but my daughter is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm quite familiar with it. We don't allow the anime in our house because I believe that the roots of it are demonic. I believe there's a spirit of death and suicide in a lot of the anime. Now, this cute little doll, okay, but we lived in Hawaii for 3.5 years. We adopted my daughter when she was 9 years old. So unfortunately, for 9 years, those formative years, we didn't have her. We adopted her when she was 9 out of foster care. And when we were living in Hawaii, that's when she was exposed to anime, because there's a big Japanese presence in Hawaii, mm-hmm. and a lot of anime. And so much of the anime may seem benign and harmless. However, it's like levels. It kind of reminds me of the Masonic Order, which I'm familiar with that because my father was a Grand Mason and my mother was a worthy high priestess. And so I've done all kinds of research on that. But they have Christianity and scripture sprinkled through the Masonic order. But if you get to the deeper levels of it, it's highly mm-hmm. demonic. Mm-hmm. And with anime, some of it seems so benign and cute and artistic, but there's anime out there that's completely pornographic, but it's anime, so it doesn't seem as severe, but it is. Some of the anime has little 12-year-old girls with their breasts puffing out and dressed, I mean, like little prostitutes, honestly. And so it's very sensual, it's very sexual. And I'm, you know, I'm assuming that the Pope and the Vatican did not know of all of the roots of anime, but I just have extreme caution with it. And things have settled down with my daughter. She's a senior in high school now, and she's going to a Christian school where that's not a big popular thing now, and she, you know, has a boy that they're kind of courting, mm-hmm. and he is not into that at all, and he's a nice Christian boy. But the anime, for those parents that aren't familiar with it, I just encourage them to have extreme caution, because there's different levels of it that is extremely, I mean, really satanic. It's very dark. There's a spirit of death and suicide in it, and I just caution them.
Well, I'm very grateful to you that you brought this up, because I didn't want to have to bring it up. I was hoping that the Take Two family did, and you did. So if you look into the roots of some of the anime creations, when you're talking about the Japanese animation, it goes back to all sorts of things. You're spot on about that. Also, the graphic design person that did this Luce doll, nothing against this person. He's very talented, but apparently people have gone into his history and he has done some sketchy stuff prior to this project for the Vatican. So you already got some questionable situations here that we can go to and try to go up the you know, do the history on and figure out if this is going to be problematic down the road for our children. So I appreciate so very much that you're sharing it with our listeners, because I do think when we, just because something is approved and something is accepted and something is promoted, doesn't mean we have to just receive it into our homes. We should look into the background and the history to make sure it doesn't have anything that is against our Catholic beliefs. So I'm right with you. Way to go. That was an excellent call. Thank you so much, Renee. I appreciate it. I'm going to try to squeeze in Sandy if I can, only because you guys, we have full phone lines, and I'm so sorry of that little glitch we had, but Jack did such a great job jumping in, and I appreciate it. But Sandy from Madison, Alabama, on Sirius XM 130, you have about 2 minutes. Can you just share with us what you feel about Luce?
Well, I just want to make the comment. The caller right before me confirmed what I was going to look up when I got home, because I'm out driving right now. My point was going to be to ask you, how can we politely, constructively contact the Vatican, to whom it may concern, to let them know about our concerns, especially if we do research, can quote our resources, etc. So I'm going to get off the phone because I'm driving, and I'll let you answer. Thank you very much for your time and the topic.
Oh, thank you so very much. Well, yeah, do the research and then make your comments. I think there's ways to contact people at the Vatican. I think it can be quite difficult at times, because there's a lot of layers there. But if you can find a certain contact that you can reach, I would politely express your concerns about this. Because, and here's the other thing. I mean, let's face it. If we don't, you know, promoted at our parishes, if we don't buy all these dolls up and start, entertaining all this, well, it's going to kind of fall flat. That's usually what happens when something is not completely of God, and hopefully it tends to fall flat and goes away. I understand what they're trying to do. No criticism, but here's where we're at. Jack, thank you so much for jumping in. Are you still with? Thank you. Yeah, please thank Jack. Also, Charles, great job getting everybody back. You're amazing. He's our producer. Thank you, Matt Gabinski, handling everything on the phones. Well, I'm not going to be able to get to everybody else. I believe I'm out of time pretty soon. Yeah, there goes the music. I knew it. So thank you to everybody waiting and weighing in on this. Wow, so many folks. Patricia, Kathleen, Mary, I mean, it goes on and on. John and the others on social media, you guys are amazing. You like this topic. You know what? Call in during Unscripted, okay? It's at the end of the month. And then you can continue this conversation. Maybe we can get a phone number or something that we can express our concerns. So we will work towards that. Tomorrow is letting go and letting God. Oh, free falling into God's arms. I love that. Thank you again, Charles, Matt, and Michael. Great job. Thank you to all the affiliates that carry this program. You can tell we're doing a fine work here. Thank you so very, very much. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.